Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. And tonight we talk about a 10-year-old, Ivan Backer, who in 1939 boarded one of Sir Nicholas Winton's famous Kinder transports and fled Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia for the United Kingdom. Sir Winton's trains saved the lives of 669 children. His final train was canceled on September 1, 1939, when Hitler invaded Poland. The 250 children scheduled for that train were left on the platform and later transported to concentration camps. Tonight we talk with Ivan Backer, the author of My Train to Freedom, a Jewish boy's journey from Nazi Europe to a life of activism. Ivan Backer was on one of the last Kinder transports to arrive safely in England, and Ivan's life paths have been the result of a question that has haunted him since the age of 10. Why was I saved? It is a pleasure to welcome Ivan Backer, author of My Train to Freedom, a Jewish boy's journey from Nazi Europe to a life of activism. Welcome, Ivan Backer.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you so much for writing this book. It was truly a journey into a past and to a present. It was so wonderful to hear that you were able to, that you were one of those children on the Kinder transports and was able to be saved. How did that occur?
Well, I was one of the very lucky ones that happened to be put on the train, mainly due to my persistence and sort of clairvoyance of my mother. She was the spark plug to get all four of us in our immediate family out of Czechoslovakia in 1939.
And when you say the four of us, who does that include?
That includes my father and my older brother and me and my mother and myself.
So she had the wherewithal and the understanding that she needed to get you on this train.
Yes. It just so happened that one of the reasons I think I got on the train is because the family in England that I vouched for me was already selected and had agreed to do it, and that was through the efforts of my brother, who had met their son in a summer camp in France the summer before when they were all learning French there. Because one of the things that Sir Nicholas had to do was to find a family in England to sponsor us, and they had to put up £50, which in those days was a good bit of money. And so his task was difficult.
I think our listening audience needs to be reminded that Sir Nicholas Winton had to establish sponsors for each child that was put on one of those Kinder transports, so that when they came to England, they were coming into a sponsoring family who put up £50. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And when you came to England, what was it like for you? You mentioned in your memoir, you mentioned that you were in three different English homes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the reason for that is that the initial sponsoring family lived in London. And when war broke out, the British government evacuated all the children from London into the Midlands of England, where they thought we would be safe from harm. The government expected the bombing of London to begin almost immediately when the war was declared, but that did not happen. So we, in September when school began, we were told to come the next day with one suitcase and that we were going to be taken by train to someplace safe. And that's what we did. And the second family, this is kind of an interesting story, and it shows the generosity of the English people during that time, because we were broken up into groups of 10 or 12 and escorted by a lady who knocked on every door of the street that was assigned to her. And this was a working-class neighborhood. It was two-story high, row brick houses. And she would knock on every door and say, "These are children from London. How many can you take?" And there were only two of us left at the end of the street, which was a dead-end street, and she made the same pitch to the woman who opened the door. And she kind of hesitated and then said, "Well, I have a son, and he has a double bed all by himself, so I'll take both of them."
So the three of you, she took both of you, and you all slept in the same bed?
Yes, so there were three of us in a double bed.
How long did you stay there?
Well, luckily, the other boy from London found another home, so then there were only two of us.
Only two. And how long did you stay in that home?
I only stayed there a couple of months. Because in the meantime, my mother found a position with a family to be the governess of their children. They had three children. And I was allowed to come and live with them. And that was quite an experience, because they had horses and chickens, and I was put in charge of taking care of the chickens. So,
well, let me. How did Mother come? How did Mother get to England?
Well, her escape is really one of the most harrowing tales that I tell in her own words in the book.
Yes,
she had a work permit to come to England, but the work permit expired on August 31st, and what she needed to get out by then was the Gestapo exit permit, and she didn't have it. And so she went and stood in the Gestapo office, which was in itself already forbidden, until closing time, when the officer saw her and asked what she's waiting for, and she told him. And he apparently knew where all these passports were, just leaned back, stamped it, and threw it at her and said, "Get out."
Well, she was very lucky, and so were you.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was absolutely, your mother was very fortuitous. She understood the need to get out of the country, and she did whatever was necessary to make that happen. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Barbaro. And this evening, I'm talking with Ivan Bakker, who was born in Czechoslovakia and escaped the Holocaust as a 10-year-old. And he is now the author of My Train to Freedom, A Jewish Boy's Journey from Nazi Europe to a Life of Activism. And Ivan Bakker came to the United States in 1944, and after earning degrees in history and theology, he worked as a parish priest in Hartford, Connecticut, where he served as the president and executive director of the Southside Institution Neighborhood Alliance, and he is a graduate of Moravian College. That is amazing. That is amazing. So you hear your mother comes. Your mother has she got a job, and she got the passport to get her out of Czechoslovakia.
Right.
And she gets a job as a governess. And now, are you educated at the same way that the children are in this fancy area that she got a job in as a governess?
No, those children were, I was a little older than the children, so I was sent to the village school. first of it, but mind you, not the nearest school, but the one in the next village, because she thought that was a better one, a better school.
Well, I have to ask you this: did you walk, or did you take a horse? Did you do? How did you get there?
I walked, and I walked in the winter.
Oh my goodness!
In the snow across the fields, and when I arrived at the school, there was always a big fire in the stove, and that felt really good.
Well, I think that is absolutely amazing. And the amazing thing is that Mother had the insight to really know that this was the time to get out. And she made every effort to make sure that you were safe, and that and your father was already there in England. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how did you come to the United States? How did that happen?
Well, as the war progressed, I guess my parents realized that the future in Czechoslovakia might become very dicey. And so my father's brother and his family were already in New York, and that family found an American sponsor for us, and we emigrated to the United States.
Well, that was really a very special, that those connections, somebody was watching out for you,
yes.
Ivan. Somebody was watching out for you up there, and you were very, it was wonderful that you had, that your mother and your father had that knowledge that it was time to get out, not only of Czechoslovakia, but to make their way to the United States.
Was very lucky for me, that's for sure.
And we're going to talk more with you, Ivan Backer,
okay.
Author of My Train to Freedom, A Jewish Boy's Journey from Nazi Europe to a Life of Activism, because we want to talk about how your education went here in the United States and what led you into a life of activism and interest in social issues when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening, my guest is Ivan Backer, the author of My Train to Freedom, A Jewish Boy's Journey from Nazi Europe to a Life of Activism. Now, tell me, Ivan Backer, how did you decide that you wanted to become interested in a life of activism? And what do you mean by a life of activism?
Well, it sort of started at Fulneck Boys School, which was the second boarding school I went to in England, because that was run by the Moravian Church. And I found there a community that was very accepting and took me in. And, you know, this was wartime, and I was an adolescent, and that really helped me get through those trying times. So when I came to the United States, I enrolled at Moravian College and wanted to do some good in the world, kind of as a response to my being saved. And also the example of Albert Schweitzer, who went to Africa and ministered to the people there as a medical doctor. And so that's what I aspire to. But I think throughout my life, when I've made decisions about my career and related things, I was very conscious about this is what I was spared for, something useful to give to my fellow people on this world.
Now, what made you, you graduated from Moravian College.
Yes.
And what did you do after that? Did you become a a priest at that time, or?
Well, that's an interesting story. I was going to go to college and then medical school, and that was it. But
and you're going to go to medical school to become what?
To be a doctor, to be a missionary someplace where doctors are needed. I sort of had my eyes set on Africa, I think, because Albert Schweitzer was there. But then when I was, I think, a junior, the dean of the seminary, you know, there's a seminary at Moravian College, and said, well, if you want to be a missionary, you've got to have some theological training. You've got to go to seminary. And that wasn't in my plan. But he was a figure of authority, and I was young. I was only 18 then, I guess. And so I said, well, what's three more years? And I went to seminary right after college. But then in my middle year, I transferred to Union Theological Seminary in New York City. And that's where I really became aware of social ethics under the leadership of people like Reinhold Niebuhr and John Bennett. So I graduated from Union, but by that time decided not to go to medical school, even though I was accepted at Temple. I went into business because I didn't really know what to do with myself.
And how did you end up in Connecticut?
I had been working in New Jersey, and there was a position that opened up at Trinity College, and my friend told me about it, so I applied, and it was a job to, as the college defined it, to build bridges between it and the community surrounding it. So that's what I came to do.
That's in Trinity College in Connecticut.
Trinity College in Hartford,
Connecticut. In Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes.
So that's how you came there.
Right.
And you've been very active in social issues. Tell us a few of the issues that you've been involved in Connecticut.
Well, it really began with the civil rights movement while I was in New Jersey. Interesting that back in England in 1944, I went to a summer work camp, and the one sort of insistent question always among the young people was the injustice of what they called the color bar in America, the discrimination against black people and other people of color. And that made a deep impression on me. So when the civil rights movement began back in 1956 or 7, I was already very interested in it. And that's been one of the central themes of what I've done, is to try to fight for racial justice and support the civil rights movement. And so that was the main activity. And I continued that when I moved to Hartford, which in 1969, when I came, was experiencing a fourth consecutive year of unrest.
So they were experiencing unrest. And what position did you take at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut?
Well, I became what they called the Director of Community Affairs. And the very first thing I did was simply go visit community people to see what their expectations and hopes might be for the college. And they told me to help students at Trinity become more involved in the community. So we did a lot of volunteer work, and I designed an internship program for students to work with agencies and government to get exposure to what urban life was.
Well, when you talk about get exposure to agents, you know, to community life, can you give us an example, like Head Start, like what community agents, because we have many here in the Lehigh Valley are devoted to human betterment and concern. So give us an example of some of the agencies that you developed internships with.
Well, it was... there was an anti-poverty agency here, and we placed students with them. The internship was based on an arrangement whereby the student got exposure to the community and assigned to do something useful. And at the college, under a supervision of a faculty member, they could earn academic credit for that experience. So that's been the basis of it. But we also had students at City Hall working with the management and seeing problems in the community from the point of view of government. Also placed some people with businesses to see how businesses are run and what problems they face. So it was a real variety of opportunities for students, because one of the distinctive aspects of Trinity College is that it's one of only a handful of small colleges that is located right in the heart of the city. It was always my point of view that that was an advantage that the college needed to take advantage of.
Now, as a result of your work, you received an award from Moravian College not long ago. Can you tell us about that?
Right. In 2003, my activities got noticed by Moravian College, and since I am an alumnus, they awarded me the Hoppert Humanitarian Award. And that was really a high point of my life, because it recognized some of the achievements that I had been responsible for.
So that no matter where you've been, Ivan Backer, your experiences growing up and being part of that kinder transport has always remained with you, and you've always been involved in raising up other people whom you felt were being mistreated or not having equal opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's my way of paying back for my life.
And so in the book you've mentioned there's a theme that, you know, why was I saved?
Yes.
And somehow or other you have found your answer in providing equal justice for all peoples. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Whether they're black or white or whatever the problem of inequality was, you seem to find a way towards that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I've tried to do, and I hope that I've managed to achieve something.
Now, I have another question. You didn't raise it in your book. I was wondering if you had ever found any other experiences in your work with anti-Semitism expressed in any ways.
With anti-Semitism directly. It's part of the whole discrimination problems that the minorities have experienced. So I was aware of it, but also I think in America, by the by the time the civil rights movement was taking place, Jews were accepted and I don't think were subject to such gross discrimination as they had been, for instance, when I arrived in the 40s.
True, but there have been publicity on anti-Semitic events in Princeton and in other colleges now going on across the nation. I was just wondering if you were aware of that.
I was aware of it, but I wasn't affected by it.
But you've devoted your life to social justice and making sure that there's equal opportunity for peoples of all races and cultures.
Yes.
And you're going to be appearing in Moravian College to talk about your book. And if you want to get to know Ivan Backer, he's going to appear at Moravian College on April 26th.
26th.
April 26th at 4 p.m. And you'll be able to call Patty Price at 610-625-7915. How did your parents take to your becoming a your interest in Moravian in the Moravian College?
Somehow my mother accepted it readily, and my father, whom I felt was very unhappy about the decision, but he never stood in my way. I don't think he certainly didn't approve, because to him I think it was a betrayal of my Judaic background. He loved me throughout it, and in retrospect, I really appreciate his attitude.
Well, I want to thank you, Ivan Backer, author of My Train to Freedom, A Jewish Boy's Journey from Nazi Europe to a Life of Activism, a graduate of Moravian College of 1949, and perhaps in an answer to your question about why you were saved can be found in a quote from the Midrash. I call heaven and earth to witness that whether one be Jew or Gentile, man or woman, only according to their good deeds does the divine spirit rest upon them. If you would like to meet Ivan Backer in person, he will be doing a reading and book signing on his book, My Train to Freedom, at Moravian College on Tuesday, April 26th at 4 p.m. And for further information, call Patty Price at 610-625-7915. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.